T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Four panels, eight laces, baby. What do you say?
Let's get it, baby.
That's right. Hey, so Bill O'Brien was on the NFL Network, sat down with those guys and had some, about 5-6 minutes, I think, and had some pretty interesting things to say, of course. QBs are kings, right? I mean, they always are the top story, no doubt about it. He had a little bit to say about Deshaun Watson. This is Bill O'Brien on the NFL Network this morning talking about Deshaun Watson.
Look, he's a guy that, because of how he works and how he approaches every day, you see things that he gets better at every single day, whether it's the signaling of something to a player, or the communication of something up front, to his offensive line, or maybe in an individual drill, how he talks to a running back because he's seen the route and he knows how he wants the route run. The experience that he has, the grasp that he has of our system, I believe allows him to improve because he knows it so well, so he knows what it should look like, and he can communicate that to his teammates. And I think that's why he gets better every single day, because he's out there every day. He knows how important it is to be out there for your team every day as the quarterback of the team. And, you know, when you're out there every day and you're into it and you have a good grasp of what we're doing, you're going to improve yourself, and that's what's happening with him.
That's Texans head coach Bill O'Brien talking about quarterback Deshaun Watson. Bill went a little bit coach speak there at the end, talking about the best ability is availability. Be there with your team. Be there for your team. But at the very beginning, man, he talked about communication. And you and I, we had a good long segment a couple of days ago about Deshaun Watson, what he needs to improve on. And I think really a big part of it is communication, right? In the meeting rooms, they've got to find a way to have answers for pressure. But ultimately, the way you beat pressure on game day is you communicate with your offensive line, whether that's redirecting the protection to pick up a blitz so that you're not hot, or it's getting the protection into a protection where they squeeze the A-gaps so you don't get inside pressure, and then you throw hot off of one of the guys outside. But communicating that protection change to your offensive line, which Bill O'Brien specifically mentioned. And he also mentioned communicating signals with hand signals to the receivers. That would be the answer aspect of it, right? We talked about identifying pressures. We talked about having answers. And having answers is directing your offensive line and signaling to your wide receivers. So I know there's Bill O'Brien speaks in code a lot of the times, but I do believe it's human nature to regurgitate what it is you've been talking about the last week or the last day or the last month. And so I think there's something there in a sense of that's what Bill O'Brien, Tim Kelly, TJ Yates, and ultimately Deshaun Watson have been working on this offseason more so than the other things.
And probably the way the offseason's been able to go with Zoom and not physical stuff probably has been able to be helpful with that more, because it's just all verbal and not physical.
Yeah, it's literally the monotonous. Just sit there and study and study and study. And okay, Deshaun, I'm going to ask you the same 10 questions tomorrow about these pressures, and I need the same answers. And you just go over it time and time and time and time again. That's powerful if you go about it the right way. There was a stat that I saw on that NFL Network broadcast with Deshaun Watson, and this goes back to, I don't know why I feel the need to do this, but I think it's the effect of the text line, damn it. But the stat was Deshaun is one of three quarterbacks, and get this, in NFL history with 20-plus wins and a 100 or greater passer rating in their first three seasons. In the history of the NFL, in the history of the position, there's two other guys, Pat Mahomes, Kurt Warner. Mm. So how anybody at this point in time in Deshaun Watson's career, given the offensive line woes in 2018, the injury in 2017.
He's overrated.
Last year they went to the second round. The ability to put on the Superman cape and go win games. And you had the ability to still somehow form the opinion of what has Deshaun Watson done.
Overrated.
Is he overrated? Come on, man. I mean, that's just one more. Also,
he's 24.
Bill O'Brien, what were you doing at 24, right? No, that wasn't a question for you, you nasty sucker.
I was
sucker.
About to come out.
You had bottles and shake joints getting slapped and stuff.
I was at a club called Blonde.
Oh, geez. Bill O'Brien, he also spoke yesterday when he was on NFL Network, head coach of the Texans. He also spoke about Will Fuller, man. And Will Fuller's a guy that he's going to be a topic of conversation all year long. It's a contract year. One of three receivers playing on that fifth-year option. Missed 20 games in the last 3 years. I mean, this guy's going to be a hot topic. And the only reason he's going to be a hot topic is because how explosive he is when he is healthy. Here's Bill O'Brien, Texans head coach, talking about Will Fuller.
He's worked hard, Rhett. I mean, he's really worked hard this offseason. He came back in good shape. You know, he did what was necessary during this kind of unprecedented time relative to workouts and where he could work out. He had a good trainer he worked with, and he's come back, and he's ready to go. And so, look, relative to the season and all those things, I think we got to take it one day at a time. But he's a very smart player. When he's played for us, like I've said a lot in the past, he's been very productive. And so the key is to keep him healthy, to have him out on the field, because when he's out there, he makes a lot of plays for our football team. We're doing everything we can to make sure he's there for 16 games.
That's head coach of the Houston Texans, Bill O'Brien, talking about Will Fuller.
I'm sold, baby.
Yeah, I think, say, you're sold on it, ain't you?
I'm sold, and I can understand some people who aren't. The injury thing is real. I'm not going to say it's not. I do like the work, however, he's done, as Bill O'Brien has talked about and Will Fuller talked about the other day, really pointing out his posture and things, how that could potentially lead to lower extremity injuries that he's had. But I'm telling you, if that kid plays 15, 16 games, this offense of everything around him, the quarterback, is set up for him to be successful. He's going to be a problem for everybody they play this year.
Show 10 games healthy in the regular season. Anywhere you want to slice them. I don't give a damn how you cut them up. Give me 10 in a regular season and be full go in the playoffs.
What a bar.
And that's it. Just 10. He's that effective when he's in the game. Give me 10 games. And be 100% healthy when the playoffs, and don't get hurt in the playoffs. Don't let you getting hurt in the second quarter of a game against Baltimore or New England or the Chiefs be the reason that the offense sputters, right? I think he's done enough to. I don't know if he's done enough to earn the money here, but I think he's done enough to get a shot at being a one somewhere else and moving beyond the Deshaun Jackson category of just being a deep threat. I don't need 15 or 16 regular season show. I need 10 regular season and the playoffs be locked and loaded. I think that's enough, man.
It should be starting off the bat. There is not a soul, not a corner in Kansas City on September 10th that will be able to hold none of them, especially him, because Rashad Breeland, who was sort of their best corner, is going to be out because, of course, he has charges. Rashad Fenton, who's going to be covering him? Charvarius Ward. Charvarius is a nice young player. He should absolutely dominate him because he did every time he played them last.
So it's safe to say, right, that this should be a game where, and this is, I think we both believe that the Texans offense should go into every game with the intentions of hanging half a hundred from the jump, not figuring things out in the first quarter and feeling the game out and really controlling the game. I mean, go in there and score half a hundred because you're going to have to do that to win a Super Bowl. I think it's safe to say when you look, and I can't wait to get closer to game time to start talking about matchups and everything, but you just saying that right there, I look at it and go, Texans should score half a hundred.
He should dominate them. Absolutely dominant. He kept getting behind the Chiefs defense. We heard Tyrann Mathieu say earlier on a podcast that Will Fuller was the toughest guy for him to cover all year. Tyrann Mathieu.
Mark that audio of Tyrann Mathieu that we had. Dig that up, put it in a file, because we're going to bring that back up game week. We're going to bring that back up right before the Texans start the season off against the Kansas City Chiefs.
White 80. White 80.
the Cowboys show. They're doing what the Texans should have done this offseason. And I, it's a double-edged sword for me. I mean, I got a Cowboy jersey hanging on the wall, but at the same time, I'm down here talking Texans every day. And damn it, I just wish the Texans would have taken this approach. I wish the Texans would have taken the approach this offseason that the Dallas Cowboys have. They had a foundational guy in DeMarcus Lawrence, a guy that they paid money. They franchised him. He played under the franchise tag. They franchised him a second time before the season started. They paid him big money. That's their foundational piece of their defense. The Texans have, obviously, J.J. Watt, who, if he can stay healthy, outside of Aaron Donald, Outside of Aaron Donald up front, that's who I want. You got that piece. Now build around that joker. Build around him. Give him a chance. Give other players a chance because of how good that particular foundational piece is to be special. The Cowboys went out there. They added Aldon Smith, who hadn't played since 2015. I get that. I'm still standing behind my bet, by the way. Gerald McCoy and Dontari Poe inside. I mean, those are two guys that they're not going to light the world on fire. They're older guys, but you know what you're going to do. They're really, really good players. They also added Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix in the secondary. Three of those guys, by the way, are now slated as starters for the Cowboys defense. And then most recently, they add Everson Griffin, who you and I hope that the Texans would make a hard push for. They've built around DeMarcus Lawrence the way that I hoped the Texans would build around J.J. Watt this offseason.
So they've helped out Smith, their linebackers as well.
Yes.
Those guys up front. My biggest thing when I look at those two, because I feel like they're in the same position, they both bring in new coordinators and Mike Nolan with Dallas, and then also Anthony Weaver, obviously the new defensive coordinator here in Houston. They just gave Nolan toys.
Just keep feeding
him. Gave him toys. And that's something with the mind that it seems like Anthony Weaver is going to try with different packages. Would have loved to have had many more toys to play with. We'll see. They still have $21 million in the cap, under the cap, and still there are some free agents out there like Clay Matthews. But
Cowboys drafted, was it Gallimore?
Yeah, from Oklahoma.
His name, from Oklahoma as well. So they've added a bunch of pieces to that defensive front, man, and I can't help but look at it and go, damn, I wish the Texans would have done the same to build around J.J. Watt. Red 22. Hut, hut, hut. So I don't know if you've seen this report yet. There's a Seahawks player out there that isn't the sharpest tool in the shed. There's a rookie. He's a free agent rookie. I don't even know how to say his damn name. Kemal, I guess. Yeah. K-E-M-A-L. How would you say that?
Kemal.
Sivaran. Well, he got cut this week by the Seahawks. He got cut, and he got cut because he was caught on video trying to sneak a female visitor into the team hotel, per source, right? Mm. Here's the deal. We can all relate to the urge. We can all relate to the want to. Mm. I mean, it's untied and it's undefeated. It's the most powerful thing in this world. I can understand where this could happen. Not during COVID-19, Chief. You can't be a free agent,
rookie,
secondary player, rookie free agent, secondary player. And are we even a week into camp? Like, literally, are we a week in? Maybe 10 days in?
It just can't be that horny.
Bro, he dressed her up as a team official, like in Seattle gear, and tried to sneak her in.
Like, just go somewhere, pull up your, open up your laptop, and just take care of yourself.
.com, that joke.
I'm just saying, man. You know how much thought and props he had to put into making that happen? That's just too damn much. Ain't nobody that horny. You're working too hard, man. Just go take care of yourself.
He should have just .com.
You probably wasn't going to make the team anyhow. I mean, God, you just ain't that.
I mean, how does that happen?
Really penetrates it a little bit harder.
Hey, sit down here, man. Let me write this down here. If I dress her up as a team official,
surely he didn't
get all the stuff.
Surely he dressed her up as like a trainer or something. I mean, surely she. I mean, that's.
Do you think he at least?
You think he dressed her up like a D lineman? That would have been a really poor decision.
An usher or some sort. Do they have?
Just a poor decision, man. Come on, Kemal. You got to be better than that, man.
I hope he at least was able to get what it was he was trying to get. From her. That wasn't what he was playing.
Kemal.
He playing some stupid.
Kemal always wanted to be famous. This wasn't it, Chief. This ain't how you wanted to go about it, Kemal.
I mean, Pete Carroll, the loosest coach in the league. Pete said, man, you can't be this damn horny. You just can't.
Now, you can't put the whole team at risk.
Nah, man.
You can't bring the virus in dressed in, whether she's dressed in Seahawks uniform or not.
That's terrible.
It wasn't uniform. It was gear. I hope it wasn't uniform. That'd look odd. Some chicken pads and a jersey.
What do you think this
What number do you think she's wearing?
For him to go through these links, man, what is she bringing to the table? Let's just leave it there. All right, L.A. Dodgers.
Holy mother of God.
L.A. Dodgers reliever who threw at multiple Astros heads, Joe Kelly. We understand his suspension was taken from 8 to 5 games for no damn reason. But he had some strong words about the Astros, beyond strong. I'm going to prepare you now. You might want to pull over. It's going to piss you off that much. We'll get into that coming up next.
Deshaun Watson is so freaking awesome.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint. Joe Kelly continues to tell Rob Manfred, hey, Rob, put your face right here. Let me spit in it several times.
Yes.
Because he just, like, to me, everything, we're going to play it for you because, you know, you're going to want to hear this. I mean, he came at the Astros in a major way. But, Clint, I don't even get mad at Joe Kelly anymore. I don't even get mad at Joe Kelly. To be honest, before Joe Kelly did the really lame, the people where I'm from would say Gandhi things.
What does Gandhi mean?
Gandhi means is another term for lame. That's just Gandhi as hell. Another term.
For real?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just Gandhi, baby. Just Gandhi as hell. You Gandhi as hell, Tyler.
Must be a Kansas thing. I don't know.
It's not just Kansas, man. It's Kansas City.
Kansas City.
It's a different. It's all the Gandhi. Same.
Gandhi.
It's
different. Gandhi.
Yeah, you Gandhi as hell. Yeah, okay. That's a
Ugandy as hell. I got it.
You liked it?
I got it.
Say it again one more time. I like it.
Ugandy as hell. Yeah, I got it.
I
got it. Yeah,
I like that.
I got it.
But yeah,
your nickname.
Everything he did, it was Gandy as hell. But it makes it worse now that I hear it. But before that, like, yeah, the Astros did what they did, and I can understand people being upset. But from what he's done, to me, it is more on Rob Manfred. Like, they don't care. They don't respect you.
Zero.
None
respect.
Of it. They're going to come out after you put the suspension out. He's going to do a podcast and double down on the fact of, yep, it wasn't just a coincidence that I threw at people. I truly did it. And it's ridiculous. And Rob just keeps looking stupid.
It's disgusting is what it is. Like I'm not mad. Like, you and I talked about it. I don't even care. Like, I don't care one way or another about the baseball policing itself by throwing at players. I understand the danger. I get it. But if it's in the game, whatever, it's part of the game. It doesn't just blow my mind when guys do it. Got suspended 8 games. It doesn't. Okay, 8. Fine with me. Let's ride. It was the way that the dude went about everything that he did. It was calculated. It was a conscious decision. It wasn't in the heat of battle. It wasn't emotional. It was a long, drawn-out, planned, orchestrated attempt to push buttons of the Astros, which, whether it was inadvertent or not, it was in total disregard for Rob Manfred and what he initially set out to do after the investigation, that the results of the investigation came out. And to me, that usually it's a child doing those things. And usually it's a kid where you're just like, you little son of a, get over here. You know, I'm going to snatch your usually it's that. But to see a grown man do those kind of things, and like you said, just spit in the face of Rob Manfred, as much as you think he may be struggling with dealing with these situations, It's just disgusting to watch a grown man do those kind of things. And as you said, my man doubled down.
This is Joe Kelly. Buckle up, folks. Get ready for this. This is Joe Kelly. He was on a podcast, his teammate's podcast, and he went in and did not pull any punches on the Astros.
Major League Baseball does an investigation, and they want people to snitch. So the only way to get people to rat and be a narc is by saying, we won't punish the players. We'll give you an immunity to rat people out. You get to say whatever the f*** you want. You get to blast people. You can make stuff up. You don't have to make stuff up. You tell the truth. And then the people that take the fall are the people that deserve to take the fall. Yes, everyone's involved. But the way that thing was ran over there was not from coaching staff. They're not the head boss in charge of that thing. It's the players. So now the players get the immunity, and all they do is go snitch like a little bitch. They take the livelihood from people who worked hard to become a manager, axed. They take the livelihood from people who work hard to become a GM, axed. So what happened is you get people to snitch and become a rat. The people who afford could get their names tainted, get immunity. I played for a manager. His name's Alex Cora, and this guy lost his job. All this goes down. Everything goes down on Alex Cora, which people knew the real story would actually hate the players even more. And Alex Cora is a great dude. He's been a great baseball player, great manager. Now Alex Cora is sitting in Puerto Rico, and I'm sure he still gets But the problem with that with me is that you get immunity and then you rat like a little bitch. And I don't think that's right.
Oh, Joe.
Shut up, bitch.
Oh, Joe. I mean, it's just so, there's just so much that doesn't make logical sense. Like, since when did Alex Cora become a martyr here? When did Alex Cora become innocent? I'm pretty sure Alex Cora, when he released his statement, said, we all did it, including him. And now Joe Kelly wants to play Boo Boo the Fool and act like, oh, people in leadership position would be punished for stuff like this. Oh, A.J. Hinch, he didn't know about it, or the hitting coach didn't. Come on, man. Like, now you're being stupid. Now you're being stupid as hell and acting like, oh, I would never dare think that the manager or the GM or the hitting coach would catch punishment for it. Come on, man.
Yeah, the interesting part of this to me is that you got to believe that the NFLPA was driving that ship, right? I mean, the Major League Baseball Players Association is that's got to be the group that was driving the ship, right? They're the ones that said, no, the players aren't speaking unless you give them immunity.
Yes.
I mean, if I remember correctly, the deal was the NFLPA, Major League Baseball Players Association, Tony Clark and crew that represent the players, they're the ones that said, if you don't give the players immunity, then they're not talking.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, baseball logic, okay, that's fine. Did you want the truth to come out? Or did you want them to just be silent and not say anything and nothing would have happened, right? If the players came out and just didn't say anything, nothing would have happened.
Yeah, there would have been no punishment. There's no doubt that
What are you talking about?
Here's the interesting part, too, though, is I believe he went – I read the transcript to all of that, and I believe he went on to talk about how the stealing of signs electronically wasn't the problem. The problem was relaying them with the garbage can to the hitter in real time, which is one of those like – so now you're all beat up because they pushed the envelope further than anybody else did, sooner than anybody else did, right? No, stealing the signs and using the electronic equipment illegally, right, in a way that it was not intended to be used, that's okay.
Yeah.
But if you relay it in real time, then all of a sudden you're beat up about it and these players are rats and snitches. It's just a hard one to wrap my head around.
I'm not tripping about that because baseball logic, you can cheat. Let me try to get the baseball logic. You can cheat before the game and like before innings, but once you get into innings, you can't cheat. Well, unless you're a pitcher and you have Vaseline in your hat, you can if you get away with it. And if you get caught, we still won't come at you like this. We have any pitchers we've seen get caught that can make the ball move?
Yes.
Have you ever seen the outrage from players like you saw from this? How the hell is that different? But whatever. That's baseball logic and cheating. I don't know how he comes through. My biggest issue is, how is Alex Cora the one that needs a hug? Like, you go and do something silly. You're the manager. You're in leadership position. Alex Cintron, you're in leadership position. Their punishment is stronger. Right?
Yeah.
I don't get how he gets there. Now, I'm with it. I think the Astro players should have been punished. I thought that was silly to me. That's unfair. They did it. They should have been punished. That was the decision. But because they didn't get punished, doesn't mean that it's right that the managers and the people in leadership shouldn't have got punished. No, I just don't understand the logic. He's just stupid. And then he started lying.
What are you talking about lying?
His buddy pulled him aside and talked to him about if he confronted Los Correa, how that would go about. Do you have that, Tyler? Let me hear that one. The one where he said, if you ever saw Los Correa on an elevator, you can hear the tremble in Joe Kelly's voice. Like, he's not really about this real life. He sticks his tongue out when he gets into a fight, when it's about to happen. But this is him talking about Los Correa.
But let's say you, for whatever reason, go down an elevator, it opens up, and Carlos Correa is standing right there. What do you think that altercation or that interaction looks like?
I mean, it just depends. Depends what kind of verbiage he wants to use towards me. I'm always a little bit edgy. So behind closed doors, you never know what will happen. I mean, if he feels that he doesn't like me, if I don't like him, you just have to wait till the elevator door opens.
Call me odd when you are in. Out of closed door and open doors, your response was to stick your tongue out at him. Na-na-na-boo-boo. That was what you did as a 30-year-old
man.
Pull
that video, Tyler.
Is to stick his tongue out. Na-na-na-boo-boo. So in closed doors, when an elevator opens, I'm expected to believe you're about to be Wesley Snipes from Demolition Man? No.
Get on the mound,
I'm with you. He's either a badass or he's super soft, right? I mean, because when everything that went down, the way that he acted on the mound, I would expect the response to be, yeah, if I saw any of them cats, man, it's going down. Like if I saw him I'm not going to get myself arrested, but if it was in a dark alley.
Because that's how he's talking.
But the right response there would have been, after all of that action, right, would have been, yeah, if I see any of these cats in a dark alley and it's a one-on-one situation, it's going down.
Instead, he goes. La, la, la.
Instead, he goes. Well, it just depends on what kind of attitude he wants to bring to me, and then we'll just have to see when the door opens. Nah, man, you can't throw at a guy's head, throw at multiple players. You know, get your ankle stepped on, then mean mug Brantley, and you can't do all that, and then just go. Well, we'll just see when the elevator door opens what kind of attitude he has. Come on, man.
All right, I know this is going to be hard to hear, but people of Houston, you should be a bit jealous of what's going on in Dallas. We'll explain what that means coming up next.
If the Astros want to shut people up, go out there, stick those baseballs and their baseballs and their bats where the sun doesn't shine.
Texans training camp is happening now. Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner
and the show.
Yes, I can talk. 713-572-4610. We were just talking about Joe Kelly. Like I said, Joe Kelly says really silly things, but if you think in terms of baseball logic, it makes sense. My issue is not even with Joe Kelly. It is Rob Manfred. My man can come out here and just say all this stuff, and you still take his suspension down from 8 to 5 games. Like, I feel like he looked at Rob and said, Rob said, all right, man, 8-game suspension. Okay. And just winked at him.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
boss. Yeah, I got you.
It's
8, huh? Okay.
I don't know who ultimately makes the decision to cut a suspension from 8 games to 5, but I know 100% how disrespectful Joe Kelly's actions were and are and continue to be, and how blatant they were and are and continue to be. And that's just – it's a bad look for Major League Baseball. It's a bad look for Joe Kelly. It's a bad look for Rob Manfred. And so I just don't know any situation where you've essentially got a boss in the structure in the business. I know that Rob Manfred ultimately is not Joe Kelly's direct boss, but ultimately, man, that is just a bad look. And you fear that this is going to be the first of many situations that, that end up.
No,
like
yeah,
this.
And many of it, and he started it from the jump. As I've said, man, it may not be popular to many. I think the Astros did get away with it. I think they their players that were involved in it, there should have been some sort of a punishment there, and that probably set off a lot of people. But Joe Kelly and Summer, they're just really. I mean, the players, after a player threw at someone's head, started a campaign, Free Joe Kelly, like he's Pimp C or something. I mean, come on, man. What are we doing here? Jonathan, you got some thoughts on Manfred. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going, Big Show?
We good,
the
baby.
The Baytown Bomber, my boy Clint.
What's going on, baby?
I was just giving you guys a call, man, because what y'all talking about makes total sense. The dude is talking like a moron. It makes sense that the leadership position should get penalized simply because even though he acts like a child, he's not a child. But when you were a child and you just decided not to go to school, you know what happened? They sent a letter to your parents because your parents are the leaders. Your parents get penalized because they're the leaders. So that statement made no sense. And as far as he's talking about in the elevator, everybody knows from Houston that we don't talk about it, we be about it. So if you get caught in the elevator, ain't going to be no word. Ain't going to be nothing to discuss.
Jonathan, man.
And that's all I got to say, man.
All right, Jonathan, I just want to let you know, man, you're not in the elevator, Jonathan. You didn't let that get away from you, baby.
Hey,
go get you something to drink. Go talk to your lady. Calm down,
baby.
I'm on the road, man.
But I'm just listening. I listen to y'all every day, man. And I just enjoy it. I rarely call, but I just had to call because I had the perfect analogy. Just like when you're in high school, you decide not to go to school. You know, who get penalized? Your leader, your mom, your dad, the person who's in charge.
They damn sure get notified, don't they?
Jonathan, and I think many people riding, listening, placed himself in that elevator. Jonathan was in the elevator with Joe Kelly when it opened.
Yeah, he blacked out. He was there.
He did, man. I don't know. Los ain't from Houston, but hell, I guess. Yes, you are now. Because he put himself in that, we be about it here.
Is it fair to say, Show, that they're, like, A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, I mean, they got disciplined because they didn't put a stop to it, not because they were doing it. But when you're in those positions and Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, they're sending you memos that, hey, we know this is going on.
Yes.
Like, you got to put a stop to it.
This is when A.J. Hinch was busting up TVs.
Yes, and they now I don't know if Jeff Luhnow never came out and said that he knew about it or that he tried to put a stop to it, but A.J. Hinch spoke openly about it. That those guys were fired because they didn't relay the message from the memo that Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred issued once they knew. They'd already investigated what was going on in Boston and I guess in New York with the Apple Watches. And if my memory serves me correctly, that's what those guys ultimately were relieved of their duties because of.
Yeah.
So well, it's a total different situation to why those guys got fired and why the players could have or would have or did not get disciplined. It's two different situations.
Yeah, Clint, we're talking about Joe Kelly and his explanation. He seems to be, and a lot of it, as he goes on later to say, is a lot of his actions came from his hurt for Alex Cora, who was his manager in Boston, where they cheated as well. His manager in Boston, like his pain and a lot of his aggression came from he felt like Alex Cora was wronged and snitched on by the players. And what he's, first off, let's act like Alex Cora didn't come out and admit that he did wrong. Anyway, so that wipes that out anyway, because Alex himself said he was involved, even though Joe Kelly's now trying to say this was all player-driven. No, Alex came out himself and said he was wrong. So even if we ignore that, like this is like the Rick Pitino situation, where Rick Pitino, we're supposed to believe that Rick Pitino, the coach for Louisville, had no idea that a brothel was being run by his assistant coaches and players on his campus. When he came to and the NCAA investigated him, and he said, "Oh, I had no idea they were running a brothel." Oh, you didn't. You didn't. You didn't. You as control freaked as Jeff Luhnow is, and AJ Hinch is. Oh, you had no clue. Rob Manfred knew about it, but you had no clue. No, Rick Pitino was fired, and had to go on his way, just like these guys were. When you're in leadership position, I don't give a damn how much more money people make. You're in leadership position. Your ass is held to a higher standard. I just don't get that.
I think people forget too. I mean, MLB had said they were suspending Hinch and Luno for a year, so you're going to lose them for a year anyway. You know, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. They didn't just get fired out of nowhere.
Good job, Tyler. You got right to the point, baby. You see that? He came out. That was big time, baby. Look at T-Mill in the building. Got right to the point.
T-Mill in the
building. You see that passion? Y'all better go listen to that boys' podcast. Right to the point, man. I like that, baby. I like that, man.
He's such an ass.
Clinched it.
Thank
what?
Thank you, Show. I appreciate it.
I'm an ass?
Yeah, you're such an ass.
I plugged his podcast. I did it all.
I tuned you out before you plugged the podcast.
I did it all, man. Go follow T-Mill, man. You were being an ass. I'm not. He did a great job. He took the coaching. We talked about it.
Did I miss the coaching session?
We did coaching yesterday. Remember, we confronted him and told him he drives around the entire neighborhood before arriving to finally. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, he goes.
But one time
he went around his elbow to get to his mouth.
He's done it multiple times. But this time, Clint, he got right to it.
Yeah, you punched it right in the mouth right there.
And nailed it.
9 seconds.
He was in and out. Knew what that was about, man. Great job.
I'm just trying to learn from you, you know.
I'm out here giving it to you. I'll give it lessons, baby.
Such a nice guy.
Let's do it, man.
You're such a nice guy.
I've got a heart of gold, baby.
You got so much to offer.
I really do. I'm trying, man. I'm out here trying to give
it, baby. We're going
to
sit back and learn, man. We just appreciate that.
Hey, just don't fight it.
We're just lucky to be here.
Lucky.
We're just lucky to be here with you.
I know your name's first, but we're just lucky. All of us. All right. Clint Sterner in the show. I said it again. Clint Sterner in the show, Houston sports leader, right here on Sports Radio 610. I said this, man, Houston, I know you don't like to hear this, but Clint, there is a real good reason that if you look at what the Dallas Cowboys are doing with their defensive line, just like the Texans, they had struggles rushing the passer, and just like the Texans, they have expectations to get to the NFC championship game, the Texans, the AFC championship game, and they said, let's go for it. Let's go for it. And they have thrown numbers at the problem. And then yesterday, they found a bargain, a steal. Everson Griffin, who we talked about, we wanted former defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings. 8 sacks last year, has had multiple double-digit sack seasons. 32 years old, one-year deal for less than $6 million to go along with all the other moves they made. The Texans, man. I'll wait and watch and see what they do. They got $21 million under the cap, but it feels like they still should be adding pieces to their defense. It doesn't feel like that part is set.
It's hard to watch what the Cowboys are doing and not go, damn it, that's what you were hoping that the Texans would do. It's just hard. They both had a foundational piece. They both drafted defensive linemen, interior defensive linemen, Texans in the second round. When they took Ross Blacklock and then obviously the Cowboys in the third round, they took Neville Gallimore out of Oklahoma. So similar in those two, at those two spots. But, man, I tell you what the Cowboys did above and beyond. They go out and sign Dontario Poe and Gerald McCoy inside, both veterans that their best ball may be behind them, but they're still really, really, really –
Gerald can still go.
Really good players. They added Alden Smith, who's a long shot, no doubt, but possibly a contributor on the defense. And now they go out and get a legit Pro Bowl veteran in Everson Griffin who can gives you the chance that if you lose DeMarcus Lawrence for some reason to injury, that foundational piece, if you lose it, Everson Griffin still gives you a player that can do work versus a tackle, that can do work in the pass rush. Those are moves that I just wish the Texans would have made. I'm going to take it a step further, Shaw. I want you to check these numbers, man. The Cowboys, just talking about the Cowboys offseason. These are the guys that they added and the total amount of money that they spent on those guys this year. Everson Griffin, Alden Smith, Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. They got all of those guys, all of them, for a combined salary next year, 2020, $15.65 million. You know what Whitney Mercilus is going to make this year? He makes 7.5 to sign. I don't know how much of that's this year, but he made 7.5 to sign, and he's going to make $10.5 million in 2020. You got $20-plus million, $21 million in salary cap space. The Cowboys added Everson Griffin, Alden Smith, Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, Ha Ha Clinton Dix for $15.6 million. Any of those, you said this earlier, show, any of those guys, take out Alden Smith. I get it. He's a wild card, long shot. I get it. Take him out of the mix. Take Alden Smith out of the mix. Everson Griffin, Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, Ha Ha Clinton Dix. With the Texans, you'll take any of them.
You'll take
any last one of them, and they would be a lock contributor, big-time contributor.
It almost seems like both teams had very similar needs, right? Like, and with the Cowboys, their secondary, losing Byron Jones and their safeties, and then up front, they wanted to add to their D-line. Yeah, it will be very disappointing, Clint, if we sit here and we're getting to September 10th and they head into Arrowhead and they're just chilling here with that $21 plus million and they don't make it.
They better give 20 to this year to Deshaun if that's the case. They better give 20 to Deshaun this year to get some cushion, man, down the road.
That doesn't even, maybe yes, but that doesn't seem wise.
I know, I'm with you, but
right,
but
they, like if you tell us
if it's the last stop, they got to, right?
Yeah, because if they've said it, man, we're looking to make the move to get to where. Further than where we've been. We don't want to win in March. We want to win in January. That's what Bill O'Brien said early in the offseason. I'm taking that to heart. And when I hear that, you know, I cannot sit there and see how they look at that defense, especially the defensive line, and have $21 million in a cap space and say, you know, we straight.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do that.
How do you look at last year's game versus Kansas City? When I know J.J. Watt wasn't full go. I know Whitney Mercilus was beat up. And I know you were missing two of your top three safeties. But if you just talk about the pass rush, you lose D.J. Reader, goes somewhere else and makes, I think, $13 million a year. You add Ross Blacklock in the second round, Jonathan Grenard in the third round, a failed attempt to get Tim Jernigan, and now you sign P.J. Hall. Am I leaving anybody out? Am I missing? Is there another?
Said Eric Murray, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm talking about just up front. I ain't talking about the secondary. I'm talking about just up front.
That's it. Yeah.
I mean that's what you watched last year, and the lack of a pass rush, and this is the answer. Like that's the attempt to fill the shoes of DJ Reader and to add the pieces that you need up front. It may work out. Anthony Weaver and Bill O'Brien know a whole hell of a lot more than I do, especially about their personnel in-house over there. But when you watch what went down with the Texans last year versus Kansas City in that last game, you look up and you go, man, is Ross Blacklock, Jonathan Grenard, and P.J. Hall with no D.J. Reader, are those guys going to be enough?
It doesn't seem like it, especially when you got $21-plus million to spin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't seem like that. But like I said, there is still time. There are still guys that are available. And if they were to bring in Clay Matthews and bring in Logan Ryan, then I'd say, all right, they're trying to add another playmaker. They're trying to add another pass rusher. All right, see it. I got it. They're going to try to maybe see what P.J. Hall could be, a second-round pick 2 years ago, but then this is it. This is what they go and give Logan Ryan $8 million, I'd feel a lot better about it. Like, yeah. They're really pushing. But if they're sitting here 21.5 when they walk in September 10th, to me that would be a wasted opportunity.
No disrespect, but P.J. Hall he's not in this conversation, right? I mean, what we're talking about is you got $20 million-plus in salary cap, and you've got some definite needs, and there's some veteran players out there. And the Cowboys are being aggressive and going and getting those guys to help them make a push in the playoffs, hopefully. They got a weak schedule this year, and they underachieved last year, and they've added better players from last year to this year. The Cowboys are serious about not repeating 2019. When you look at the defense, You're already spending more money from a salary cap standpoint on the offensive side of the football. How you can just stare down these guys that are out there. And look, the Texans may have battled for Everson Griffin and he chose Dallas over Houston. But, man, you got to land one of these guys up front, right? You got to.
Yeah. Somebody, just in addition to the defense that shows it. Like here on the text line, Clinton show, P.J. Hall can contribute nicely if he can just get in good shape. I know Sam Houston State is an FCS school, but P.J. was a one-man wrecking crew there. That's great. You're talking about trying to beat the Ravens and the Chiefs. Can we get some more definitive pieces that you know what's it going to be, not this guy tore it up at Sam Houston State 2 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
There's some more definite.
No, yeah, no disrespect to P.J. and what he did in college, and no disrespect. I'm not one to crush him for what went on in Oakland or Las Vegas, wherever the hell.
They are dysfunctional.
Whatever the hell he wants, wherever he played. It's to me, it's one of those. Yeah, because they're dysfunctional.
They had Richie Incognito and Antonio Brown.
Well, I mean, I saw a list earlier, and I don't remember all the names, but their draft picks, their interior defensive line draft picks from – like the last 10 years have been awful.
So, all second rounders too.
Like yeah, I'm not one to bang on him for it working or not working in Oakland. I don't give a rip. It doesn't matter. I mean, you got a second life. You got a second chance here with Houston. You know, I hope the kid makes the best of it. But ultimately, if it was that easy and it was just like he could help and be a contributor, it's a no-brainer. We saw him in college. If it's that much of a no-brainer, then Oakland would or Las Vegas wouldn't have let him go. Like they wouldn't have shook him free. I mean, it was cheap labor with second round talent.
Yeah.
They would have found a way to keep him. So I mean, it's not that clear cut with him. We're talking on a whole different level when we're talking about Clay Matthews and Logan Ryan and Everson Griffin. Those guys are ESPN's. Those guys I just mentioned the Cowboys have. ESPN's got them listed as starters. Everson Griffin's a starter. Gerald McCoy's a starter. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is a starter. Those are all cheap pickups that the Cowboys had this offseason.
And I don't think P.J. Hall has made the sheet yet for the Texans.
I wouldn't think so.
All right, coming up, these stories you need to know. 5 o'clock fire coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.